Oh, you got it? Okay, great.
Okay, it's really great to be here today. I want to thank Rachel and everybody else who was really involved in planning this last minute, but it was really pulled together. I want to speak on a different topic. All the different people today are speaking about different things, and I would like to speak about Nashim Chachamot in Tanakh. Now, I did a whole class, right? One of my classes is, you know, Women in Tanakh and Rabbinic Literature, so this is a little bit of a take-off on that. But al regel achat, right, we're going to do something very specific. And I want to speak about Avigail. Meaning, I want to speak about Avigail, v'ha'isha tovat sechel. It's one of the only places in Tanakh where we have the phrase that a person, right, is tov sechel or tovat sechel. Usually we don't have the idea of someone being smart and intelligent actually part of their definition. So it's fascinating that only two individuals really are emphasized that they really have sechel, right? And one of them is Avigail, but the other one is David. So we're going to see that really David and Avigail are going to be kind of mirror images of each other and really play a very important role in this idea of sechel. So that's number one. Number two, what we're going to see is that women in Tanakh are always considered smart, always considered influential, right? Whether we use the phrase or not, very interestingly, the word of chokhmah, or identifying someone as a chacham, right, comes almost equally for men and women in Tanakh when we talk about individuals with a name. For example, we know in Tehillim and in Mishlei, many times it says about being smart, right, or being a chacham, right, or being a someone who has sechel. But when you want to speak about specific individuals, which means by name, or even if we don't mention their name, but it's a real person, right, a historical figure, then we almost have an equal balance of men and women in Tanakh who are specifically defined, right, as being smart with the idea of chokhmah or of having sechel. The two individuals besides, right, David and Avigail, and Sefer Shmuel actually is the winner when we want to use the language of sechel and the shorish of sechel, but we also have it defined and as a bracha to Yehoshua, right? When Yehoshua is starting, right, that he's told, right, that he should be maskil, right? And also Shlomo, right? That in everything he does, he should be using sechel ubina, right? And David is telling him to do things bechokhmah. And of course, Shlomo, right, is always defined as someone who is chacham, right? And David and Shlomo asks for chokhmah. But the first two people that we are going to find that are going to be chachamim, right, and tovat sechel, and the idea that sechel plays an important role, is going to be for David and Avigail. So I want to make this proposal. Number one, that we're going to see that when we define Avigail, right, as tovat sechel, she is, number one, going to be kind of like the female David. And number two, what we're going to find very interestingly, is that after we find Avigail, then the role of the smart woman as giving a speech and speaking rationally and intellectually and giving proofs in order to turn someone's mind around and view around, Avigail is going to be our watershed case. So I'll repeat that again. Which means in Tanakh, Avigail is going to be that individual, even though we're going to talk about many smart individuals before, and especially women, Avigail is going to be our first case where we have a rational explanation. She's trying to convince someone to turn their life around or their actions around, and the pure force of her language and speech, in addition to her actions that she does, but mainly her speech, is going to be that definition. And that's why Avigail becomes the isha that we define her as, v'ha'isha tovat sechel. She's the only one in Tanakh who even has that definition. Interestingly enough, one of the only men in Tanakh who we constantly speak about him as being a chacham, but in the terms of sechel, is going to be David, right? First, let's just look quickly. Now I think everyone has the sources. So quickly, just look at number 12. We're on page 3, number 12. Okay, page 3, number 12. In Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Chet, okay, when we talk about David, right, it says, Vayihi David l'chol drachav maskil v'hashem imo, which means David is defined as in all his ways he's maskil and Hashem is with him. So we're going to see that David is maskil, and many times in Tehillim it's maskila David, maskila David, maskila David. And we're going to see that Abigail is going to be a counterforce, right? And she's going to be almost like a partner in this idea of haskalah. Because what was David's strength? And we're going to see this very importantly. Even though he was going to be a great warrior and he was successful in his battles, David's main quality, right, and success was also that he was a great orator, right? And when he comes on the scene with Goliath, it is his language and his speech, his convincing ability is what's going to really define him as a great leader. So it's that ability of David and that ability of Abigail. So what we're going to see, all the women before Abigail, many of them are going to be very influential, very smart, but none of them are going to give a speech as long as an irrational and trying to convince, right, another individual to change their tactics, right? It's only going to be Abigail. She's the first person in Tanakh. After her, this becomes, right, kind of a definition of what the Isha Chachama does. So we're going to see that as well. Another thing we're going to see is that the many women before Abigail, they are going to be very influential. They're going to do actions. They're going to change the destiny of the Jewish people, but never with this kind of speech. And that's why Abigail is really a turning point in Tanakh. So let's just look first, right, at the Imahot, right? Quickly, I just wrote their names because we're just going to discuss them very quickly. So let's go back to page 1. When we talk about the Imahot, how would you define some of the actions that they do, right, in order to change the destiny of Am Yisrael? Let's do this a little interactive, right? But let's do this quickly, right? With the Imahot, what are some of the actions that they do, right, to change the destiny of Am Yisrael? Yeah. Okay, Rivka with the brachot. So she definitely talks to Yaakov, right? And then later she talks a little to Yitzchak, but it's never a big speech, but through action, right? And trying to guide, right, Yaakov in taking the brachot, she plays a very important role. Yeah?
Sarah expels.
Okay, when Sarah tells Abraham that Ishmael and Hagar have to leave, and her decision definitely has a big influence, but it's like one pasuk. Also when she brings Hagar, which means we don't have, right, a long, you know, speech that Sarah gives. But again, they always come with a few important words and actions. Who else? Yeah. Okay, number 1, Rachel and Leah supporting Yaakov to leave Lavan. Also, very quick. Oh, our father does not, you know, really support us in the right way. We are loyal to you and we're going to go with you. And what about having children? What does Rachel say to Yaakov? Right? Havali banim v'imayin meta anochi. Which means it's one sentence, very powerful. Right? And right after that, what does she give to Yaakov? She gives Bilha to Yaakov to have children for her. But we don't have any very long, rational, right, influential speech that we have in Tanakh. What about Tamar? How does Tamar really change the future with Yehuda? She sits at the crossroads. Right? And then later, what does she really show Yehuda? Right, when she's put on trial? The items, right? She doesn't give a big speech. She shows the items. She says, oh, whoever is the owner of these items, he's the father of my children. So again, very smart, right? Quick activities, thought out, right? Not such long language, right? But very, very influential. With Miriam, Miriam's hallmark is her mouth, but also her actions. What are the actions of Miriam? Right, she watches Moshe. Right? She makes sure that Moshe is going to be... Well, we say she sings Shirat Hayam. She speaks about Moshe. Right? But we don't have any long soliloquies by Miriam. And what about Benot Slavchad? Yeah?
They do come and present their case to Moshe, but in doing that, they really, like, they use a foundation of understanding how in fewest words to get Moshe to agree to their...
Okay, they make a request. They present it very intelligently. And there are example of speaking succinctly to the point, right? And asking for something and making a request. And Moshe has to ask Hashem, but they speak very convincingly. So we do have women speaking convincingly. We do have women, right, playing very important roles in making sure that certain things in the future destiny, right, of the Jewish people change, but we don't emphasize, right, the whole speech or the language that they use. For Benot Slovchad, we do, but how long is it? Most of the psukim are defining them, who they are, how they approach, but they really only say one sentence, which is very sharp, or two sentences, right, in trying to convince Moshe. Dvorah is also very interesting, because what are Dvorah's words? Dvorah's words are nevuah from Hashem. She tells, right, Barak to go to war, right, and later she sings a beautiful shira. But what is the shira? It's not a convincing, it's not trying to really... change someone's ways by giving this speech, right, in order to change their minds. It is just a beautiful shira that we have. And what about Ruth? We're doing all the major women before Abigail, just to show that there is a difference when we discuss Abigail. What about Ruth, right? How does Ruth really succeed in her actions? Yeah? Okay, she goes with Naomi, right? But in her actions, right, she tries to change Boaz's attitude. She tries to change Naomi's attitudes. But it's mostly in her chesed that she does. It is in the language and activities that she uses. But again, we don't find any great speech by Ruth. It is her actions. It's her caring, right? It's her constancy that we have with Ruth. And what about Hannah? Because that's the last main woman that we have before Abigail. What about Hannah? What are Hannah's hallmarks? Yeah. Number one, her hallmark is tefillah, right? Her tefillah to Hashem, her tefillah afterwards of Shevach v'Hoda'ah. But we don't have, and amazingly intelligent, right? Well formulated, but not as a speech of trying to convince someone else or to use your intelligence to try to change, right, someone else's mind. It could be Hashem's mind through her tefillah, but not on an interpersonal level. So what's fascinating about all the Nashim, very smart, very influential, use actions and their words in order to change many things, but number one, we never define them in any way with either Chachama or Tovat Sechel. Their actions and what they do and their influence speaks volumes itself. And what's fascinating is that the first time we are going to find the word sechel or the shorish of sechel is where in Tanakh, which means all these women really show, right, being intelligent, being smart, but we don't have that definition. And that's another change that we're going to have for Abigail. Abigail is going to be defined as Isha Tovat Sechel. And of course, Dvorah is smart, Chana is smart, but the Tanakh doesn't define them as such. It tries to let us see their actions, right, and what they say, and then to form our opinion. Whereas Abigail is going to be different in that sense, because before we meet her practically, we are told that she is Tovat Sechel. So that's also a very interesting definition. Where's the first time we find the Shoresh of Sechel in Tanakh? Also with a woman. Where do we find it? In Gan Eden. Right? What is Isha's reaction to the Etz Hadat after the Nachash speaks to her? Vatera ha'isha ki tova etz l'ma'achal, v'chi tava hu la'inayim, v'nechmad ha'etz le'haskil. I'm sorry, I didn't put it on the page. Okay? V'nechmad ha'etz le'haskil, which means who's the first person in Tanakh that understands what knowledge is, that understands what intelligence is, that has a reaction to something that knowledge is important? It is the isha. The Adam, Hashem tells him this is etz hadat tovara. But we don't find any reaction from Adam. When Isha is evaluating Etz Hadat, she's the one who says, she looks at it and it says, V'nechmada Etz Lahaskil. And Rashi explains, what does it mean Lahaskil? Yodei Tovara. Because how is the Etz defined? It's Etz Hadat Tovara. So what does Isha understand about the tree? She understands that it's going to teach her Tovara, knowledge. Ramban says, it's Chemda Basechel. When you desire something, what do you use in order to desire something? Your mind. You look at it and you think about it, and that's what influences you. And so the Svorna also plays on that and says, she understood totally that what is this etz? Etz hadat. which means the first time that we find intelligence in Tanakh and the understanding of intelligence in relation to it is with the Isha. So what's fascinating that even though the Isha takes from Etz Hadat and eats and also gives to Adam, and then we have repercussions and they're exiled from Gan Eden, the Nashim Chachamot that we mentioned so far always are trying to get everything back on track. So you would think that all of Tanakh would be never listen to the smart woman, right? Because look what happened in Gan Eden, which she's definitely defined as an Isha Chachamah, because she looks at the Etz, and it's Nechmad Lahaskil, she's evaluating, right? It's Tava Ulayinayin, Nechmada Etz Lahaskil. She's the first one to do an intelligent evaluation, right? You would think that all of Tanakh is not to listen to the Isha, but we see that all of Tanakh is listening to the Isha, right? What is her contribution, right, in the area of Chochmah? So the first place that we find the word of Chochmah with Nashim is in Shmot. Now we're going to look at our booklets. In Shmot, right, where is the use of the word Chochmah used with Nashim? In what Avodah? What is being done here in Shmot Perek Lamed Hei? It's Melechet HaMishkan. Right? And the women were the weavers, right? People were getting kesef, nechoshet, right? And what were the women doing? Pasuk kafei. We're in Shmot, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk kafei. V'chol isha chochmat lev, right? The women were chochmat lev, and this is the first place we have in Tanakh that we really seriously use the word chochmah. We use it for the men who are fashioning the Mishkan, and for the women, they're using their chokhmat lev. So what would really chokhmah be used here more? What are we really using chokhmah here? To define what? A skill. Here, really, chokhmat lev is a skill. Also, the men who are fashioning the mishkan, it's more used as a skill. Also, where else do we have? We're doing this in the parshiot. Who else are defined as chachamim, right, in Sefer Shmot? It almost doesn't appear in Bereshit. Who are the Chachamim in Sefer Shmot? The Chartumei Mitzrayim, right? They're the Chachamim and the Chartumim that are also doing, right, what Moshe and Aaron are doing, which means you also can have a chokhmah, a certain skill or a magic, but it doesn't have, right, a spiritual infrastructure. When's the next time we find a very important use of the word Chacham? And that's why I want to show this correlation for what we're doing. It's in Dvarim in Perek Lamed Bet and Hazinu. In the Shirav HaZinu, which is very interesting, right? Moshe is really bringing the heavens and the earth as witnesses. HaZinu HaShamayim VaAdabera VeTishma HaAretz Imrei Pi, right? And Moshe is saying that my language, right, should be like the dew and should be reviving. And Moshe is criticizing Am Yisrael. And he's criticizing them by saying Hashem is whole, Hashem is pure, Hashem always does things for Am Yisrael. He tries to bring them justice and goodness, but Bnei Yisrael are always rebutting it, and they're rebelling against Hashem. And look at Pasuk Vav. Hala Hashem tigmalu zot, am naval velo chacham. Right? Bnei Yisrael are a dull and witless people. They're naval velo chacham. So what we're going to see also in our perek with Avigail, which means in Hazinu, Naval v'lo chacham, Bnei Israel are dull and witless. According to Rashi, Shachechu et ha'asui lahem, which means Rashi explains, Am Naval v'lo chacham, that they forgot what Hashem did for them. So of course, what is that? Rosvorno says, if you don't remember a good that someone did for you, what are you? A kfui tova. So we're going to see in our piece as well, what is going to be Naval in our story with Abigail? What is he going to be for all the good that David did for him? He is going to be a Kfui Tova, which means what we're going to see also with the Naval and Abigail story, David, Naval, and Abigail, is that she is going to be, right, the undoing or the response to this issue in Hazinu. Bnei Israel are Am Naval v'lo Chacham. Naval is going to act as a Naval. David is going to be acting in a way that is not correct. And who's going to turn them back with her chokhmah? It's going to be Abigail. She's going to be bringing back chokhmah or thoughtful response, right, to Am Yisrael, not being a kfui tova. So too does the Ibn Ezra say, what is Naval here? He's Naval b'ma'asav b'nei Yisrael, v'lo chacham balev, chasar machshava. Which means, what is a Naval? Someone who's not thoughtful. So what are we going to see about Abigail? What is she going to do in order to counter Naval? she's going to be misthoughtful, which means the person with the chokhmah, with the understanding in order to answer, right, correctly. Where else do we see chokhmah? Look at Shoftim Perakei. And this, again, is so ironic, right? Who has her chachamot answer her, right, when she's waiting for Sisra to return? It's Em Sisra. And who are responding to her? Chachmot Saroteha. All the smart women who are around her are giving her advice. Of course, Sisra is going to come back. So here again we have, who are the people that Em Sisra surrounds herself with? Or who do we have involved? We have Chachamot, which means there are always intelligent women, right, who are around. But why is this so ironic? Who is the Nevi'ah in Am Yisrael during the time of Sisra? It's Dvorah. So who is the real Chachama in this whole situation? It is really Dvorah, which means she's Chachama without having to say that she's Chachama, but the fact that they're showing the Chachamot around Em Sisra is to counter, of course, who's the smartest one around, right? And who is the real Chachama without having to say that she's Chachama, right? We see that it is Dvorah. So we have all these references, right, to this idea of Chochmah or Chacham or Sechel. Now I want to move post Abigail. Now this is very important. So we spoke about before Abigail, and now we're going to see the difference after Abigail. Look at Shmuel Bet Perek Yudalid. What's happening in Shmuel Bet Perek Yudalid? Who left the country? Avshalom leaves the country. I just want to have to give some Tanakh background. Avshalom leaves the country. Who was Avshalom? David's son. Okay, David's son, he had an issue with his brother Amnon and Tamar, and he had to leave the country. And David really wants him to come back, but David can't call him back. Yoav, David's advisor, realizes that he really wants him back. So what does he do? Look at Shmuel Bet, Perek Yudalet. Vayida Yoav ben Tsruya ki lev hamelech al Avshalom. David just could not stop thinking about Avshalom. Vayishlach Yoav tkoa, vayikach misham isha chachama. After we have Abigail, I just want you to remember, over and over again, we're talking now post-Abigail. Once we have Abigail, she becomes, right, the archetype for the smart woman. What's a smart woman? The woman who could speak, who can convince, who can give you an understanding and really speak in a way that will change your opinion, right, of what you want to do. And he goes to Tkoa because Yoav is David's advisor, right? But we never find Yoav speaking eloquently. He knows that what's the only way to convince David, right, is to bring in Isha Chachama, which means once we have Abigail convincing David, we find over and over again that these intelligent women play an inordinate role in convincing David later on of different things. And we find it with this Isha Chachama, right, from Tkoa. And Yoav gives her, right, the scenario. But I didn't want to bring the whole piece because we won't have enough time to go into the whole thing, and I want to focus more on Abigail. But her whole speech is almost a perek, which means the idea that a woman gives a speech in order to convince and change someone's mind is something that has changed, right, once we had Abigail. And she now comes to David, right, and she's going to speak about her children, right? She's going to make believe she's a widow and that she has children, right? And these children are in trouble and that David should do something about it. And then, of course, in the end of the story, she says, well, so too, you should bring back your son Avshalom, right? And then David says, did Yoav put you up to it? And she says, yeah, Yoav put me up to it. Everything I said was really, you know, instructed by Yoav. But if you have a chance later on to look at this perek, clearly, Yoav picks this Isha Chachama because he knows that only she can really speak about this in a very intelligent way and convince David. And that all the words she said were not really instructed by Yoav. She gets the idea from Yoav, but she is able to formulate it and present it in her own special way, which means the Isha as formulator and as explainer and as someone who can really influence you, that just by her words, without even doing any actions, she is able to really change your opinion, that changes with Abigail. And Yoav comes and uses this Isha Chachama. Where else do we have an Isha Chachama? After Avshalom does come back, and unfortunately, he rebels against David, and David has to run away. When David is taken back by Am Yisrael, what happens? There's a rebellion in Am Yisrael. And who's the second one beyond Avshalom to rebel against David? What's the person's name? Sheva ben Bichri. Okay, so now we're on source number 5, right? They come to this city, Avel Beit Ma'acha, and Sheva ben Bichri, who is the rebellious individual, he's hiding in that town. Now, Yoav wants to destroy the whole city, right, in order to get Sheva ben Bichri. So what happens? Pasuk Tet Zayin. Vatikra Isha Chachama. This Isha Chachama saves the whole city. So we have the Isha Chachama from Tekoa that Yoav asks to convince David. And now who is convincing Yoav not to destroy the whole city? It is another Isha Chachama from Avel Beit Ma'acha. Vatikra Isha Chachama Minair. So she speaks from the city and she says, call Yoav. I want to speak to you. Right? Vatavoa Isha El Kola'am Bechochmata, meaning she has to convince the city that they should kill Sheva ben Bichri and then they'll throw his head over the city wall in order to show Yoav that they're not rebellious, that they're not harboring a criminal. But the language is, right? Vatavoa Isha El Kola'am Bechochmata. So what did she have to do, Bechochmata? She had to convince them and speak to them, right, that they are going to change their actions, that they are going to show that Sheva ben Bichri is not one of them, and they are going to then, right, get rid of him, and they do, and she saves the entire city. And also, what does she do? She pretty much saves the entire Am Yisrael, because by making sure that Sheva ben Bichri is not going to foment any more rebellion, David is able to come, right, and is able to secure his melucha again. So now that we did pre-Avigail and post-Avigail, so let's do a little Avigail and Avigail and David. But I have one more that I want to do. In Mishlei, of course, what's the language? Chachmot Nashim, we're on number 6. Chachmot Nashim Banta Beita. V'ivelet biyadea teharsenu. In Mishlei, when it wants to talk about, right, building up your family or your home, it's chachmot nashim, smart women. Smart women build up the family, which means it's the woman's intelligence. So constantly we are seeing the idea of chokhmah with isha, chokhmah with isha. V'ivelet biyadea teharsenu. But someone who is evil, meaning a woman can use her smarts for something positive and for something negative. So we have the idea of Gan Eden. We have later the idea of Izebel, Atalia, but most of the women in Tanakh really play a very positive role in giving good advice, but that advice can go either way. Also post-Avigail, which other woman, and this is very interesting because this is at the end of her life, which other woman, we're on number 7, which other woman also uses her language in order to make sure that the future Malchut of Am Yisrael is going to be secure? It is Bathsheba. So in the beginning of Sefer Melachim, Adoniyahu rebels, right? And here also we have this relationship between Natan. Natan is the Navi. He says, Bathsheba, you go and speak to David. Natan is the Navi. Before he also gave, right, a speech and a mashal to David, and David understands it, and then he repents for Bathsheba. But here, what does Natan feel? Who's the only one who is able to go in and really convince David? It is Bathsheba. So post-Avigail, we have these three women who give a speech, a convincing speech, right, to convince David or Yoav, right, but the rulership council, in order to change their mind. So Avigail really changes the balance, that all of a sudden this idea of the smart woman, not only in family issues, not only in inter-family issues, can give the speech, even though, of course, we have Dvorah, right, and Benot Slovchad there, we have it now almost like in a formal position, right, of the Isha Chachama, even though Bathsheba does it within the family ideas. Okay, so now we want to find out, what is this David Avigail Chochmah and Sechel? Where do we find the parallels? Which means what we want to show now is that Avigail, in a sense, is a kind of David. So even though she's not a melech, and she's not on that formal level, the way the Tanakh wants to write, the way the Navi, the way Shmuel wants to write about Avigail, is in the same way, right, that we are understanding David's greatness. So we're now on number 8. What do we know about David in the beginning? Shmuel Aleph Perek Tet Zayin. Right, when Shaul, right, doesn't fulfill his destruction of Amalek, Hashem tells Shmuel to anoint another king. And he sends him, and Shaul, Shmuel does not know who to, whom to anoint. And look in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tetzain, we're on number 8, we're on page 2. He goes and he finds the other sons, he tries to anoint them, and Hashem says each one is not the right one. In Pasuk Yud Bet, he says, oh, there's another small one, right? Od She'er HaKaton V'hinei Ro'eh Batzon, there's still this small one, he's a Ro'eh Batzon, call him. Vaishlach Vayivieu V'hu Admoni Im Yefeh Einayim V'tov Ro'i. What is David? He's Admoni Im Yefeh Einayim V'tov Ro'i, which means the first time we meet David, we have a description. Just like with the first time we're going to meet Abigail, she's going to be Haisha Tovat Sechel, which means we're told a description before we see any actions from a person. So that's very interesting to us. And how is he described? He's Admoni, he's red, Im Yefeh Einayim, he has good eyes, V'tov Ro'i, and he's kind of good looking. Why are they going to call David later on? Who is now having a Ruach Ra'ah? Shaul is now having a Ruach Ra'ah because he lost, right, the Ruach Hashem because it was put on David when he was anointed. Look at Pasuk Tetzayin. Yomar na Adoneinu avdecha lefanecha, yivakshu ish yodea menagen bechinor, v'haya biyot alecha Ruach Elokim Ra'ah, v'nigen biyado v'tov lach. What is the power of David? That when Shaul has a Ruach Ra'ah, what can David do? He can undo that Ruach Ra'ah, which means what is David's ability? Someone is stuck in a certain way, and what can David do? He can undo that. What are we going to see with Abigail? David is going to be stuck in a certain mindset, and what is Abigail going to do? She'll be able to undo that. But what's the first way David is seen as doing it? Not with his language, but with playing a musical instrument. And what is the description, though, of David when we find him? Look at Pasuk Yudchet. We're in Perek Tetzayin. We're still in number 8, Pasuk Yudchet. Vayan echad manarim. They want to find someone who will really help Shaul. Vayomer hine ra'iti ben liyishai beta lachmi. How is he described? Yodea nagen. So his musical prowess is number 1. He's gibor chayil, right? He's a war hero. Ish milchama. Unevon davar v'ish toar. How is Abigail going to be described? David is nevon davar v'ish toar. Now look at number 16. How is Abigail described first time we meet her? Right? David here, originally we said he's Admoni im Yefeh Einayim v'tov Ro'i. Now we're describing him, Pasuk Yudchet, Nevon Davar v'ish toar, and of course, v'Hashem imo. How is Abigail described? She's Tovat Sechel v'Yifat toar. So David is Nevon Davar, like Tovat Sechel, right? V'ish toar, and she's Yifat toar, which means we're going to find these parallels of definitions and descriptions between David and what we see in Abigail. Now, the Midrash says something very interesting about David, right? His Admoni im Yefeh Einayim v'tov Ro'i. What's his famous Midrash Shmuel? We've done it in class many times, right? What are the two characteristics that David has? On the one hand, he's Admoni. He's a Shofech Damim. He can be a great warrior. But on the other hand, what is he? He is Yefeh Einayim. He is like Yaakov. So he has the Esav and he is Yaakov. He has both these elements and he has to really integrate the two. And the Malbim says as well, on the one hand, he's a warrior, L'shvichut Dam. But on the other hand, right, he has Rishamim Tovim. He's intelligent. He always thinks in the positive way when he thinks rationally. Right? And look at the end of the Malbim. We're on number 10. Shuhu note b'tiv'o. I'm doing the third line. We're on number 10. Shuhu note b'tiv'o li'inyanei olam hazeh sha'admoni gover bo. Right? Bechol zot mitov mizgo v'sichlo u'bechirato hu ba'olam haba. Which means on the one hand, he's very much in this world, right? He's Admoni, he's a fighter, he's a warrior. But on the other hand, he also has one foot in Olam Haba, which means he's intelligent, he's spiritual. And David is going to be constantly trying to really work between these two elements. And the first time we find David, when he goes out for Goliath, we find these two elements really brushing against each other. On the one hand, right, Goliath wants to fight Am Yisrael and is terrorizing Am Yisrael. David, who we know was mentioned already as a warrior, but he's also playing music. He's also, right, Hashem Imo. He comes into the battlefield. And how does David convince Shaul that he should really fight against Goliath? Look at number 11. How does David convince Shaul that he should fight against Goliath? What does David say about himself? And what do we see here for the first time about David? What does David use in Perek Yud Zayin? What ability does David have in Perek Yud Zayin? We're on page number 2, and we're going to go to the top of page 3. What is David's strength here? How is he convincing Shaul that he could fight against Goliath? What is he telling about himself? What is he? He's a shepherd. And what kind of shepherd? What kind of shepherd is he? Just a regular shepherd? Meaning, what is he saying about his prowess as a shepherd? I protect my flock. No matter what happens, I protect my flock. Right? And I fight with them with my bare hands. And just like I did with my flock, I can do with Goliath. So he's giving a speech about his prowess. And his speech is so convincing, right, to Shaul, that Shaul says, wow, I'm going to have you wear my armor, try it on in order to fight against Goliath. Which means David's speech is so convincing that he is this little guy. He's convincing the king of Israel that he can fight against this giant. Which means David's language and his ability to convince people is really beyond, right, the average person. And what do we see is happening between him and Goliath? What is his prowess, right? We're on page 3 now. What is his prowess? How does he really try to put down Goliath? Not with a sword, but by language. They're constantly, right, insulting each other. They're constantly speaking, right? And David is constantly answering back. For everything that Goliath says, boom, David has an answer. So David's prowess here is also with his language, which means David is presented to us first as someone whose language is really most forceful. Just like Hakol Kol Yaakov, right? We know that David has Admoni. He could be like Esav, he's a warrior. Or he could be like Yaakov. The first time we meet David, he is the katon, he's the youngest, he's a shepherd, right? He has this Yaakov image. And Yaakov's image is that language, right, is very convincing. And even the language here is very important, because how does David really finish Goliath? With a slingshot, right? A stone and a slingshot, and it says, V'cherev ein biyad David. Look at Pasuk Nun, we're on page 3. Pasuk Nun, V'yechazak David min haplishti bakele uba'even, V'yachet haplishti v'imiteu, V'cherev ein biyad David. It wants to say that David does not have a cherev. His power is in his language. It's true he threw the slingshot, but his power is in his language. And in everything that David does, look at number 12, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yudchet, Vayihi David l'chol drachav maskil, as we said before, v'Hashem imo, which means, so what is David's hallmark? The idea of sechel. In everything he does, he is successful. In all the wars, but not just because he's a warrior, because he uses his intelligence, he thinks, right? And he's also becoming a leader among the people, and that's why Shaul more and more is becoming threatened by him. But what happens over time is that David starts reverting more to the cherev. Number one, when Shaul is running after him, he goes to Nov Ir HaKohanim, and he asks for that cherev back. So here we had David, his language was his force, and all of a sudden what's happening to him is that he's trying to go back for the cherev. Look at number 13. When David goes to Achimelech, when he had to run away from the Rosh Chodesh meal, David runs to Nov Ir HaKohanim, and what does he ask Achimelech for? He asks him for his cherev. And with that cherev, what does he do in the cave? When he finds Shaul, he cuts Shaul's coat. But the question is, did he just want to cut Shaul's coat? Or did he think that he might even kill him? And the Ralbag says something very interesting. Look at number 15. When he's in that me'arah and he's about to kill Shaul, what is going through his mind? Rashi says he only wanted to cut his coat. Radak said he's wavering, but he only wanted to cut his coat. Ralbag here says that with this cherev of Goliath, what was David almost willing to do? He was almost willing to kill Shaul HaMelech, which means David is coming to a point where the cherev is becoming more important in his life. And at that moment, when he's coming after his close encounter with Shaul, he comes out of the Ma'ara and he has a whole speech with Shaul. And his speech with Shaul is that Hashem is going to pay back, right, all the bad things that you have done to me. You're trying to run and kill me, but Hashem is going to fight my wars. Even though he tells Shaul that Hashem is going to fight his wars, what is David's reaction when Naval refuses to pay him back? And that's what we're up now. Shmuel Aleph Perek Kafei. At this moment in David's life, where David is running away from Shaul, David is feeling very alone. David is surrounding himself with 400 men, right? He is an outlaw. He is coming to this very important moment in his life, which is very critical. And the question is, in which direction will David go? That is when he meets Abigail. And how is Abigail described? Look at Shmuel Aleph Perek Kafei, we're number 16. There's a super rich man that David has watched his sheep. He didn't have an arrangement with him. He didn't have a contract with him. But David felt if he watched this rich man's sheep, then he's going to pay him back. And this man's name is Naval. So David is on the run. He finds Naval and his shepherds, right? He helps the shepherds. He really secures, right, their perimeter, makes sure that their crops and that their sheep are successful. And David then sends messengers to ask for some kind of payment. And this is where we are right now. And look at Pasuk Gimel. The Shema Ish Naval, the man's name is Naval. And of course, this harkens back to the idea in Ha'azinu, right? Am Naval velo Chacham, which means Naval is going to be used here as the ultimate example of someone who is a Kfui Tova, someone who is not thinking clearly, someone just like Am Yisrael, we're not thankful to Hashem who did all these great things. Naval is not going to be thankful for David who did all these great things. So is he going to continue in this way? Or is someone going to save him? But what's fascinating about Abigail, by doing what she does, she's going to save both Naval, and then not, but his family, and then she's going to save David. So let's see what happens here. V'shem ha'ish Naval, v'shem ishto Abigail. Right when we are introduced to them, we're just told that he's Naval and she's Abigail. Vaisha tovat sechel v'yifat toar. That's the way she's described. First person in Tanakh ever to be tovat sechel v'yifat toar. We usually have yifat toar v'yifat mare, or tovat toar v'tovat mare. She's tovat sechel v'yifat toar. First, we want to make sure that we understand that she is tovat sechel. And the Mitzudat David explains, she's ba'alat sechel tov. The Malbim says, shleima b'ma'alot ha'sichliyut, meaning she's really unbelievably intelligent. And let's look quickly just to the Radak. Look at number 18 on page 5. The Radak explains, right, that why are we giving them these names? Because we want to say al ma'aseim ha'atidim, which means in this story in Tanakh, it's telling us who they are in order for us to evaluate the story knowing this about them, which means they're given these definitions, right, in order to see what they're going to do in the future, which means the actions that Abigail does here, that's what's going to define her. But we're giving you an introduction because we want you to look at the whole piece with that lens in mind, says the Radak, that she is the Tovat Sechel. Look at all the actions that she does. And what is his right definition? Ish Naval, right? Shehu ma'asem osem ma'asera. V'hi asta b'sechel u'b'chokhma. Which means we want to define Abigail. What does it mean, tovat sechel? That she acts b'sechel u'b'chokhma. And what we're saying here, and what we are defining, is that this idea of the Isha Chachama, and that she's called Isha Chachama, this is the first time, and this sets the precedent for the future. So what is so chacham, right, that Abigail does here? So let's go back to number 16, right? What is so smart or so intelligent, right, about what Abigail does? What is so unusual here about the actions of Abigail? What is happening here? I mean, let's do this in a nutshell. How does Abigail stop David, right? What is the story here? The messengers come, they ask for food. What does Nabal say? Of course I'm not going to give any food, right? And what is David's reaction when he hears they're not going to pay him anything back? Look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. David says to all of his men, we're on page number 4 of Pasuk Yud Gimel, Chigru ishet harbo. Everyone should harness, really take their sword, which means everyone should take their sword, and everyone takes their sword, which means what is David becoming now the leader of this gang of 400 men that everyone is wearing their sword, which means now David has become a person of the sword, and he has 400 men with him, which means he's really becoming like Esav, right? And Abigail doesn't tell anyone in the family. She doesn't tell Nabal. She just now takes action, and she puts together food, right, in order to bring it to David. Look at Pasuk Yudchet, Vatemaher Avigail, right? She acts with alacrity. She's going to make sure to bring food. Now she brings food, right, and she puts it on all the chamorim, and she's on her way to David. Now, when you use food and you're bringing it to someone else, right, in order to make sure to assuage their anger, right, we have the image of Yaakov in mind, in which he's bringing all of the goods and the matanot to Esav. So the flip here is that David is with his sword, coming with 400 men, and now Abigail has to defuse this tension. And even before she comes to defuse the tension, look at Pasuk Kaf Aleph. David already says, Ach la sheker shamarti et kol asher lazeh, which means I kept it for a certain reason, and now it's for naught, which means he's paying me ra'a tachat tova. What did we say in Naval is? Someone who's a kvui tova. Someone who's a mishalem, ra'a tachat tova. So David feels Nabal should be punished because he's Mishalem Ra'a Tachat Tova. He deserves this. And what does Abigail want to do? She wants to stop this. But she didn't get there in time. And what did David do? Look at Pasuk Kafbet. David swore. So not only is he saying he has his cherev with him, he's using his language to swear B'Shem Hashem that he wants to kill everybody, all the males, all Mashtin Bakir, right till the morning. And when Abigail sees David from afar, she again, Vatimaher, she comes and she gives the speech. Now look how many psukim this speech is. She falls down, right, and prostrates herself. And she says, you shouldn't, look at Pasuk Kafei, right? Al na yasim adoni et libo la'ish hablial hazeh. Don't mind Nabal. His name is Nabal, and that's the way he reacts. If you would have sent to me, I would have responded better. Pasuk Kavav. She says, Chei Hashem v'chei nafshecha, Asher mena'acha Hashem mibo bedamim. I'm stopping you, right, from shedding blood. Meaning, I'm here, right, to stop you from doing future actions, right? And I'm here to save you. V'hosheya yadcha lach. All your enemies should be like Nabal. Pasuk Kav Zayin. V'ata habracha hazot. I'm bringing this treat, right? All this food that you wanted. So what you wanted was food. I brought you food. So now you're getting your payment. So you're getting a bracha. Pasuk Kavchet, Sana lefesha amatecha. Forgive me, which means she's now saying it's not Naval's fault. It's my fault. I didn't see the messengers quick enough, right? And she's saying Hashem should save your nefesh, just like he saved your nefesh all the time. And look at the language. Ve'et nefesh oyvecha yikla'ena betoch kafakela. What is she trying to remind him? Who did he kill with a slingshot? He killed Goliath with a slingshot. So she says that all your enemies should be killed with a slingshot, which means through her language, what is Abigail doing? She's reminding David of his past. She's reminding him of who he is. She's reminding him of all the important values that he has. And she's saying, Pasuk Lamed, right? You're going to be the Nagid of Am Yisrael. You're anointed as king. Go to the next page, right? And don't have this as an obstacle. V'lo tiyeh zot lacha lefucha. Lefuka ulemichshol lev, lishpoch dam chinam, ulahoshia adoni lo veheitiv Hashem laadoni vezacharta at amatecha. Which means she's saying, don't let this be an obstacle, right? If you're going to spill pure blood. Which means she is giving several psukim of a speech that reminds David of all the great events of his life and who he is and what should be his direction in the future. It's true that she gives him a present, but it's all through her language. And through this language of convincing David, David has to decide one way or the other. And what we see in Pasuk Lamed Bet, Vayomer David la Avigail, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Shlachecha Yom Azeh Likrati, which means he understands, number one, this is how we say that she's a Nivia, But through her language, right, and her convincing David, right, he's listening to every word she says, and she totally convinced him. Because he's saying in Pasuk Lamed Daled, if Hashem didn't send you, for sure I would kill everybody in the family. Which means what we see here is that Abigail is this turning point of this idea of the Isha Chachama who gives a rational, expository, right, speech, right, that she is really trying to convince rationally, point by point by point, right, to make sure that David understands or someone else understands, right, the words that she's speaking. And that's why Abigail is really this turning point, right? She is Tovat Sechel, like David was Maskil, which means she's really, in a sense, the mirror image of this idea of language and words. And after this, we see that David also comes back to use his words, right, in the end of Shmuel Aleph. And I just want to finish with one piece on Abigail here, and that is number 20. We're on page 6, and that's number 20. In Midrash Tehillim, it says something very interesting. Lamnatzeach al machlat maskil David. Right? The Midrash wants to show that the idea of mechila of Abigail correlates with one of the Mizmorei Tehillim of Maskil LeDavid, right? She's Mochelet Lo Ala Avonot, and it's Maskil LeDavid, and she was Tovat Sechel. Zeu Shamar HaKatuv Matza Isha Matza Tov, which means, what does it say in Mishlei, Matza Isha Matza Tov? Because Ein Sof LeIsha Tova, right? Amar Rav Shmuel, Tova Ita Avigail LeDavid Mikol HaKorbanot Shebaolam. Right, she was better than all the korbanot, because if he killed Naval, he would never be Melech. So here, when he is appointed, right, when she is able to convince him, and he stops himself from killing Naval, it changes David's whole trajectory. And further in David's life, what we see, not only does Abigail really change this, but we see that the Isha Chachama Mitkoa, we see the Isha Chachama Me Avel Beit Macha, and ironically, later on in life, Bathsheba also helps David, right, in order to appoint Shlomo. So what we see very interestingly is this a definition of the Isha Chachama, giving good advice and explaining, right, is really a very old idea that we have. It starts all the way with, actually, Chava, Isha, in Gan Eden. She is the one who understands what the Etz Hadat, right, can really confer. It might not have been used in the most positive way, but she has this understanding. And throughout Tanakh, what we see is that the Isha plays a very important role of Chochmah, whether in language, with Abigail is really one of the main ones who does it through her language, but we saw that the other Nashim do it in many different ways, using language and other kind of activities, but Abigail is really our hallmark of the Tovat, Sechel. Thank you.